Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
So tonight I'm going to speak about faith versus fear. You know, over the last couple of months, I've had many encounters and conversations with people that are going through really tough times. You know, the world out there is not an easy place, and people are struggling. And people are struggling on how to apply or how to combat their fears with faith. And so if you will turn with me to Joshua 1, verse 9. I've got quite a bit of scripture, so if you want to just take note of the actual scriptures, you don't have to turn to it every time, but yeah. Okay, so Joshua 1, verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Moses has just died, and Joshua has just taken over from Moses to lead the Israelites into the promised land. They're about to cross the Jordan River, and this is God speaking to Joshua. And he's now supposed to take these people who have been on a journey for 40 years in the desert, holding on to the promises of God, sometimes failing, sometimes doubting, sometimes sinning, facing many fears, facing many trials and tribulations in these 40 years in the desert, but holding on to the promises of God of this promised land. He's about to now take them into this promised land, and this is what the Lord is saying to him. So guess what? We on this earth are on a journey. Our 40 years, if you will. Where are we heading? The promised land. Eternal life in heaven with Jesus. What has God commanded of us? To lead his people, his sheep, to the promised land. How are we to do this? We are to be strong and courageous. We are to follow the lead of his son, Jesus Christ, who came and died and rose again. For us to walk in even greater confidence, greater authority, and greater faith, because he rose again and because he died and rose again, we are righteous. And we are righteous through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're on this journey on this earth until Jesus eventually takes us home. We are called to a task. We all lead normal lives on this earth. As we go, we work, we have kids, some of us are married, we exist here. We've got things, we've got to wake up, you've got to eat, you've got to do things to live, right? But all of us in this normal lives that we lead are called by God. And we are called to a task and to a purpose, which is to lead his people to the promised land. Devil doesn't like that call, and he doesn't like that purpose, and he doesn't like this journey we're on. And so he's going to throw opposition at us around every single corner. He's going to lie to us. He's going to try and derail us from this calling that we are on with everything he has. Because he knows he's already defeated, but he's trying to clutch and hold on to as many souls as possible to take them to hell with him. And that's what we're called to, over and above just living our normal lives. So, amongst all of this, in our humanity, we have fears of various kinds as we walk this journey. Because of the devil not liking the journey we're on, and because of what he throws our way. What is fear? The dictionary explains it as an unpleasant feeling or emotion caused by the threat or possibility of danger, pain, or harm. Fear is not of God. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, God says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Now, when we're born into this world, we're all born sinners. We're all born with a certain spirit, you know, as we come into this world dirty and, you know, uncleansed yet. But then we meet Jesus, and then we are saved. We are born again. We receive his Holy Spirit. So our spirit, our body's made up of spirit, soul, and body. So our spirit, okay, is born again. It's renewed. But not only that, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit from God, who resides where? Within us. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit of God that resides within us is the helper and the comforter. And this helper, Holy Spirit, helps our spirit, our born-again spirit, to react not in fear in certain situations, to know the power of God, to know His love in certain situations, and to have a sound mind, God's peace that surpasses all understanding. Okay? Fear is from the devil. Fear, I believe, is birthed from lies that the devil tells us. You see, there's various lies he tells us, and these lies then turn into fears. We all at some point struggle with some of these. And as I go through some examples, I'm going to, on some of them, be quite vulnerable with you. But I believe it's very important to be relatable for people who might be struggling with something the same way. Say, oh, look at what Reza went through and look where she is now. Look what her testimony is of overcoming it. So that's the reason why we testify and why we are vulnerable, so that it may help and encourage the body, right? So let's look at some of these lies and the fears that they result in. The lie of you are not good enough results in fear of failure. The lie of you are not worthy of His love is a fear of past transgressions coming to haunt you. The lie of provision, the lie of you will run out, you will not have enough, results in fear of lack. Now, Hilton and I, we run our own company together, and God's been good to us always. We've had lots and we've had little, but that was before we had kids. About the last year, I would say we signed up a very big client just over a year ago. And because of capacities and stuff that you've got to put into the business, we lost a couple of small clients, retainers. But ultimately, that all landed up being quite a large amount. So for the last year, I have been so fearful of running out. You know, the next fear which I have to just give you is lack of control or own plans, fear of the future, uncertainty. I am a planner. It freaks me out when I don't know how things are going to pan out. Okay, we've got so much and we're doing this, and I'm a hectic planner, sometimes to my own detriment. But the last year has been really, really tough for me because I manage the finances of the business. And so I knew that we were running at a massive deficit every month, loss, massive loss. And the loss was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger every financial statement. I'm like, Lord. And we are focusing on trying to get new business in. We are restructuring staff. We are getting new people in to fulfill different roles that might increase turnover, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just doing this. And I'm like, God, I don't understand. And Reza is trying to make all the plans possible. I'm moving funds from here. I'm doing this. I'm saying, let's move this there. I'm saying, let's build this client this. We're trying to make every single plan in our own power as possible. However, within that year, we never lacked. Our staff never lacked. Somehow, even though the management account showed a deficit, we are paying the bills month on month. But more so this year, about 4 months ago, we lost two massive contracts that literally almost gave me a heart attack. I was like, God, I don't understand this. We are serving You. We are serving in Your house. We are traveling apostolically. We tithe. We do everything we're supposed to do. I am seriously confused here, because now the picture that I'm seeing in front of me is shut doors, liquidate business, close business. And Hilton is so in the moment busy to just keep the wheels turning, okay, and keep the clients that we do have happy and keep it going and whatever. And the more I'm saying to him, I don't know what we're going to do. We are in a boat. It's got a whole lot of holes in it. It's busy sinking. I'm busy plugging, trying to plug, but it's still sinking. And God has taught me so much about not fearing the lack. So much about not looking at my own abilities or what I don't have. And so much more about looking at Him as my provider and what He can do like this. Okay? 3 months ago, I'm in the sinking boat. I'm like freaking out. And out of nowhere, God sends this purchaser who wants to purchase not our business, but the people in our business. So the whole deal's actually quite strange. This is how I know it's God, because I have spoken to people who do acquisitions and buy and sell businesses left, right, and center, and they've said to me, I haven't seen this before. I haven't seen a deal structured like this before, ever. And so here's this purchaser, and they are going to purchase, possibly, because Hilton and I were praying about it at that time, all our people and his brain for a beautiful amount of money, like out of nowhere. And we were like praying and we got a whole lot of words and it was confirmed. And here's this like, okay, God, this is our lifeline. This is our little boat that you've sent us. Okay, cool. So now we've confirmed this is the turn we're taking. Do you think the deal can conclude? Now I'm like, okay, I've got a plan. We're going after this. Reza's got a plan. Her brain can function. It has been 3 months and every month that passes, I'm going, we're drowning. We're sinking. We're drowning. So the more every month as it goes past, number one, the Lord has provided our daily bread. Salaries are paid. Bills are paid. Out of nowhere, I know the invoices that are out. I know what's due to us. I know what's due out. It seems like the impossible, but God is the God of the impossible. There's randomly clients who are just like, oh yeah, no, so I just want to bill this quickly. Do you think you can backdate the invoice and just invoice this and then we can pay this in? And like overnight, astronomical amounts of money just coming in, daily bread. God saying, I am your provider. I will give you your daily bread. I need you to learn to be reliant on me and not make your own plans. So as I stand here today, I promise you, there will be days where I'm stressed and there will be days where I falter like we all do. But I can honestly say to you that as I stand here today, I am free of that fear of not having enough because I know that I know that I know that I know that God's my provider and he will come through no matter what. He has never let us down. Never. So the next lie, you are going to die and it's going to be scary. There are many Christians that I know they're going to go to heaven, but they are so fearful of death. They're fearful of how they're going to die or when they're going to die. It's a lie. The lie of you're going to lose it all. Loss. Fear of losing stuff or losing someone. This was a big one for me. When we tried for 4.5 years for my little son, Grayston. Long, long while that we waited for him. Lots of heartache in between. And when he was 6 months old, Hilton and I went to a prayer meeting. We got home. Everybody was sleeping. He was with his caregiver. And we woke up the next morning and we noticed a very big bump standing out of his head. Rushed him to hospital. Turned out he had a 20-centimeter cracked skull. And they did x-rays and he had fractured forearms. Now, we didn't know what happened because everybody at the hospital is asking us, what happened? What happened? What happened? Because this was healing already. They thought that it was two different instances. So Hilton and I were suspects of child abuse to our own child because the caregiver wouldn't come forward to tell us what had happened. She had come up with various stories. Stories changed the whole time. And long story short, he was taken out of our custody and put into the Four Ways Life Hospital custody. I was able to stay there with him, but we weren't able to take him home, even though he was 100% healthy and fine. The pediatric surgeon there made an appointment with the Teddy Bear Clinic, which is the South African Child Welfare Association in Joburg. We had to go there with the childminder, with our son, to go and have an appointment to find out whether we were going to get him back or not. And let me tell you something. The fear of losing my kid was so overwhelming. God came through in that moment because she finally was honest and gave the story and, you know, it was all put behind us. But the problem was what followed there was the fear of something happening to him. It cripples me. If he's not with me and he's not in my presence or I drop him off with somebody, he can't go visit my mom. And then I'll be like, okay, the pool. And I'll be like phoning all the time. Is the pool closed? Is your door locked? I am freaked out by it. And we are not called to live like that. You know what? God gave me Grayston. It's his child. Grayston is his child. And so I have to say to the Lord, God, this is your child. You take care of him. And Lord Jesus, thank you for blessing me with him. Bless his life. Protect him. And I pray protection over my kids all the time. But it was such a crippling fear. And I must be honest with you, I have improved while preparing this, my own soul searching to me. But many of us can be at that point where it's crippling and overwhelming and it overcomes us. And it's not how we're called to live because it's a lie. Satan doesn't have a right over Grayston. He belongs to God. The lie of you can't trust anybody results in a fear of betrayal. Many of us struggle with this. The lie of no one likes you, rejection, results in a fear of being pushed away, disliked. You know what? Many of us experienced rejection in our lives. Somewhat it molded us. And what we've got to be so careful of is to not let that lie every single time somebody responds to us in a certain way or uses a certain tone with us or maybe walked past us and didn't greet us. We've got to be so careful to not let Satan come in with that little lie. Yeah, you see, nobody likes you. rejected. They don't dig you at all. No, because why? It affects our responses to people then. It's a complete lie. It's not the truth. But if you don't listen to that lie, then you won't feel that way. Don't have the fear of rejection, and don't let that fear of rejection affect how you respond to people and in certain situations, because it's like a little button that gets pressed. The fear of you're going to be disappointed is a fear of hoping for anything. The fear of it's not real, doubt, results in a fear of being wrong about what you stand for. Jesus sweated blood. God understands fear. He's very familiar with it, but he will not entertain it because it's not from him. What is faith? Faith in the dictionary explains it as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in our hope, assurance in the things we do not see. We place our faith in a God that we cannot physically see, in a Savior we have not physically met, and in a Helper that we also cannot physically see. But you see, because we have our faith and we place our faith in this unseen God, God is good to us. The Word says He is good to us. He honors us with signs and wonders that we can see, dreams, visions, and the prophetic that we can see, with a still small voice that we can hear, with a spirit that we can at times so overwhelmingly feel. He honors us with the recorded life of Jesus Christ that we can apply to our lives. The Gospels, they're not just storytelling. They're not just somebody who decided to get their creative writing on. It is real transcripts of a real life lived, of real people that walked with him, and real people who recorded what they saw, what they heard, and what they spoke. It's an autobiography. And so it's real, and we can apply those things, that little blueprint, to our lives. So that encourages me, because this unseen God that we put our faith in certainly gives us a whole lot of things that we can feel, see, hear, and experience. When we focus on him and how much he treasures us and he loves us and he cares for us, our fear turns into faith. Yes, Isaiah 43 verse 1. Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. If somebody goes and drops R1 million on buying a Ferrari, do you think they're going to take care of that Ferrari? I think so. We are precious. We are so much more precious to God than a Ferrari. He has purchased us at the highest price. So we are important to him, and he will take care of us because he's bought us. We belong to him. God actually commands us not to fear or worry. The phrase fear not is used at least 80 times in the Bible, most likely because he knows the enemy uses fear to decrease our hope and limit our victories. What are some practical handles of how we apply faith and how we can combat fear with faith? Number one, we have faith in his character. 1 John verse 4:18. Perfect love casts out all fear. His perfect love was the most beautiful display when he wanted to reconcile humanity back to himself. John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loved us so much that he gave his only Son. Perfect love displayed. God's perfect love casts out all fear. We are to abide in his love. If his perfect love casts out all fear, where would you want to abide? In his love. Knowing him alone changes how we live. Knowing he is there. Fear that cripples some people in the world that do not know his love should not and will not cripple us. Why? Because we know he loves us. We know he wants to have the best for us. We know he cares for us. We know that God is good. And so when we enter into certain situations that would cripple people who do not know the love of God,
We already are so blessed and privileged that in certain situations, our responses and our reactions to an attack or opposition or a lie or a fearful situation will be a different response, a calm response, a peace response, because we know him. Let's look at Grayston. In the middle of the night, he's sleeping. Dark room. He has a nightmare. Wakes up, he's frightened, it's dark, he's dreaming about monsters, he's got a legitimate fear. He calls out to his dad. Dad! Dad! He knows that his dad's going to come. Why? Because he knows that his dad loves him. Why? Because his dad has shown him many times and has made him safe and secure so many times. His dad's got a track record. So has God. All of us can look back and see a track record of God's love in our lives. And we can feel confident in that love. We can be confident that when we call on him and when we abide in his love, it's guaranteed. Two, we have faith in the truth and the power of his word. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word is alive. Guys, we take that word and we swing that word at every lie and every fear and every opposition that comes our way, because it has power, it is the truth, and it is alive. It is the weapon that God has placed in our hands to attack those lies and that fear. Matthew 4, verse 1 to 5. This is when Jesus goes into the desert. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Many of you know Bruce McAlpine. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He can tell you he was hungry. He lost about 40 kilograms as well. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus Christ quoted scripture in the face of temptation and opposition. Number three, we build faith with testimonies. Psalm 105, verse 1 to 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds amongst the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of his wondrous works. The word of God is so full of wondrous testimonies and miracles, signs, and wonders. We know the word of God is the truth. And so when we read those stories, when we read those testimonies, when we see what happened and what Jesus did and all the miraculous things that happened, there's got to be faith that stirs in our hearts when we read the word. I get excited when I read certain stories, but also our testimonies. When God moves in our lives and he does stuff in our lives, it is our responsibility to testify and to give glory to God for all he has done. Because as we testify and as we give glory, we build up the faith of those around us. Because we all walking on this earth together today. And people need to know that God still moves on this earth today. At this past Equip, I was sick for the first 2 days, man down. And then the first session that I did go through, I was just down. I was sick. We got bad news in the business. Nothing was moving. It was coming up to month end. I was like, Lord Jesus, how am I going to pay salaries? Like, I don't know. I was just down. And I was honestly, I was sitting there going, God, are you there? Lord, are you there? Because I'm vulnerable enough to say that I sometimes have moments and conversations with him like that where I just don't see a way out. And Skia Taylor, love that man. He came up and he stood and he gave a testimony. The gist of it is this. It was some faraway church in some faraway country. And there was this young lass. She was about 21 years old. He said she was young, 21. And she got married into the ministry. They led a church together and et cetera, et cetera. And her husband was a great preacher. And they had all these outreaches and stuff. And it was in the time of the Azusa revival, if you want to go read that up, whatever. And this lady, she wasn't a great preacher. And she wasn't greatly articulated either, but she could hear the word of God. She could hear his word. She could listen and, Lord, what do you want to do? And then God would speak to her. And all she heard, she got invited to go preach to this massive church, right? And she's like, yeah, okay. Lord, do you want me to go? Yes, you must go. So, okay, now she knows she must go. But putting stuff together, no. God says to her, this evening there will be a miracle from heaven, like an earth-shaking miracle will happen tonight. She said, okay, Lord. And he says, and that's all. Okay, Lord. And so she goes and she gets into the front of the church and it's her first time and she sits down. And she stands up and she says, okay, so God told me that tonight he wants to do heavenly earth-shaking miracle. So if one of you are out there and you know what I'm talking about, come. Nobody comes. And she sits and she waits. Half an hour goes by and she's like, Lord, did I hear you right? No, no, no. She heard God. She stands up. Guys, you know who you are. Somebody is here and God wants to perform a miracle which you thought was impossible. Heaven, earth changing miracle. Sits down. Another half an hour goes by. And then right there at the back comes this man with this blanket. He looks at her and he says, is this what you're talking about? And she takes the blanket and as she unfolds it and opens it up, there's this baby. But completely deformed. It's got a body. It's got stubs as shoulders, stubs by the hips, no legs, no arms. It's got no eyes. It's got no nose. It's completely sunken. It's a being that breathes. It's not even a recognizable human. And she takes it and she says, yes, this is it. And as they start worshiping and they start singing and she starts praying and she says, Lord, this is what you're talking about. She puts the baby down next to her and she says there were two things that looked like two little tornadoes that came like wind onto the baby and it created eye sockets and eyes filled. And next minute there was this bit of a light and bit of wind and the next minute the arms came out and formed and fingers formed and the nose formed and this child was completely transformed, made whole, a heavenly earth-changing miracle happened that changed that entire region. Why am I telling you this? Because for me that day, when I heard that, I was sitting there and I was sobbing, sobbing. I was repentant to God. I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry. How can I even doubt you? How can I even ask, like, if you're there, Lord? You are real. You are powerful. Forgive me if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Speak to me clearly. Lead me, Lord. I know you are powerful. I know you are there. And my faith shot up. Shot up. Amen. Why? Because Kia Taylor came and shared a testimony. Yeah. Your testimony can fill somebody's faith tank. Yeah. Number four, we have faith when we worship. Acts 16, verse 25 to 29. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jail worker woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Saul and Silas. Now, Paul and Silas didn't really have much reason, if from the outside worldly view, to worship and to praise God. But they had come to a point of contentment and just living for him. That didn't matter what they faced, they worshipped. And they also understood the power of worship. And so when they worshipped, power was unleashed. But also, this jailer, okay, he's the guy that's dragging them by the chain into the cell. He's the guy that probably whips them every now and then and beats them up and, you know, like throws water in their faces and, you know, threatens them. He is the fear giver in that position. And through their worship, God brings this fear giver to his knees in front of them, trembling in front of them because they worship the Lord. God can bring all our fears and make them fall before us, trembling, when we decide to focus on Him and worship Him. All of us have something to praise God for. When we get into that place of worship and when we are bringing glory to Him, worshiping Him, we are shifting our minds from our problems to Him and His power and His might. then automatically our hearts are adjusted to ones of faith and hope and gratitude. You cannot worry and you cannot fear when you are worshiping in the presence of God. It's impossible. Number 5, we have faith in prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. God says here, don't be afraid. Just pray to me and give thanks to me. Praying the word of God. We already know the word of God is the sword. It's truth. So, for example, Psalms 18 verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. We know this is the truth, right? Because it comes out of the word of God. And so when we look at our situations and we're praying this over our situations, we're flinging and swinging that sword and prayer at the problem. For David, this means sitting in a cave praying that an army of skilled warriors would pass him by. For Daniel, it was praying that the lions would not devour him. For Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, it was that they wouldn't be burnt in the fire. For us, it might be a salary, or a job, or healing, or a child, or a restored relationship. It's all the same to God. We are not saved and bought to limp through life crippled by fears and lies. Trust He is your rock and your fortress and your deliverer. When we focus on Him, not good enough becomes more than good enough, made in His image, co-heirs with Christ. When we focus on Him, not worthy of His love becomes set free, forgiven once and for all by the very love that sent His Son to the cross, that nothing can separate us from. When we focus on Him, fear of provision turns into He provides all my needs, my daily bread. Lack of control or own plans turns into He knows my future. He has set plans to prosper me, to give me hope and a future. Fear of death turns into celebration of joining Him in the promised land, eternal life. Fear of loss turns into, it's all yours anyway. Everything is in your mighty hands. Fear of broken trust turns into, I live for you and I trust you and in you because you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You are trustworthy. Fear of rejection turns into acceptance by Him, living to please Him alone because He knitted us together perfectly and wonderfully. Fear of disappointment turns into contentment of His plan. Your will, your way, your will be done. Doubt turns into faith, trust in your character and your bigness. You have a track record, God. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight or every lie, and every sin or every fear which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance this race or journey or calling or 40 years that is set before us, looking to or believing in Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Confidence in Christ births faith, courage for things unseen.